podcast, anyone?
Tom and Loggy and a K-Rock audio presentation of the finest quality.
You just have to be brave.
You can do this.
For a second.
Am I going to like this? Do I want you to be brave?
I don't know. I'm really not sure. But I just have to do it because then you know that the first time's going to be hard, but then everyone will get used to it. Okay? So
you're making me nervous.
I know. Can you just close your eyes so I can paint a picture for you for a second? Okay, now it's a safe space. Don't worry. But what I want to paint for you is a new face. And so
for
actually,
me,
you know what? Just open your eyes because it's easier.
Okay.
I know.
Still take your hands away. I want to see it. Wait, you put them on really quick.
I have new glasses.
You do have new glasses.
But I've gone a bit bold.
You have.
I've gone.
You mentioned that you were getting new glasses, and you've had these for a while, haven't
for
you?
For months.
Much like your iPhone that you got new.
Yes.
And you were too afraid to get out of the box. You've done the same with the glasses.
Yeah, yeah. And I just wanted to get your thoughts.
They are cute.
You're
such a cute little mushallah. Pinch your cheeks.
Okay, you do you want to explain them for the radio?
So they're not normal glasses. They're like a pair of sunnies that I had. So instead of just having the bridge, so black frames.
Yeah.
Right, and they're sort of a rectangly sort of, but not sharp edged, so rounded, rectangly shaped.
Yeah.
And then you've got the bit that goes over the bridge of your nose, but also then at the top above that, there's another bit that connects.
Yeah.
Which is the unusual bit, I think.
So I wore it to my friend's house yesterday, and her daughter said, and I said, "What do you think of these?" And she said, "Yeah, they're cool." And then I put them on my friend, which is her mum, and she said, "What do you think of me with them?" She goes, "You look like Jeffrey Dahmer."
Jeffrey Dahmer.
And I was like, "How do you even know what is?
What a reference.
What a reference, girl. You're only 10 years old."
Yeah. That's disturbing 11. On lots of levels.
Yeah, I know. So I'm just like, okay. So anyway, I've had these glasses for a long time and I just wanted to grab your face in a natural way, and I think what you wanted to do was laugh your ass off, but then you were like, "I can't," because she spent the money and they're here now.
I know.
So I might as well just be supportive.
You know me very well.
Yeah.
But no, I think it just took me a second. But now looking at your face and keeping in mind that you've done a fair bit of face gear with me too, you don't look like Jeffrey Dahmer. I just looked up his glasses.
They're no, it's you know, if anything, the glasses take up half my face.
They're big, yeah.
So, yeah.
No, you're very cute. You're a little cutie.
You would say I'm special.
No.
And different.
No.
And quirky.
It's different.
Yeah. Anyway, they're
how
here.
How much do they cost?
Oh, I know. I had a voucher.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. That's lucky.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
I had a bit of a weekend, bit of a night out on Saturday night. Got confused because we had a long weekend.
We did.
So went to a 40th.
Yep.
Went out to Leopold's Sporties,
hung
out with the crew out there, had a lovely old time, bit of a chin wag.
I like it out there.
Ben was there from Andy and Ben, who used to work here with us and we were on the block and stuff. So
I love Ben.
Yeah, it was awesome to catch up with him because I'd not seen him for a few years.
Yeah.
So lovely chat and sort of, I'm so bad at working the room, like I get stuck talking to people. And unless it's time for a wee or a beer, I don't know how to get out of the conversation.
Yeah.
So I just keep chatting.
Yeah.
So like my mate who introduced me to the whole crowd, I like waved him across the room a couple of times, but it would have been easily an hour and a half, 2 hours of me being there before I actually got around to his table to be like, "How you go?"
Oh, okay.
Anyway, it was lovely. I had a great time. Happy birthday, chicken. Anyway, got not K-Rock chicken, different chicken. but anyway, then after that, there was another birthday that I had to go to, and so I kept a lid on it so I could get around town, because on a Saturday night, traditionally, you don't keep a lid on it, and then you're sort of Ubering left, right and centre, sort of thing. So I behaved myself very well at the 40th because another mate of – you've met Andrew, I'm pretty sure, here in Now Bar on Ryrie Street, the old Room 99.
Yeah.
Right. They had a real hard time getting up and going, but she got it up and going, and they've been going for a year, so they had their 1 year birthday there. Shit. And Rob from Old Geelong Jail was there, yep, dressed as Zoltar.
Oh, that's the big Zoltar party.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. So they've got one of these. So Zoltar is the fortune-telling machine, like arcade machine that is in Big, where the Tom Hanks movie.
Yeah.
Right. And so they had a toy, one of those, and Rob and his friend stole that from the bar and then took it to, like, all the big things up and down the East Coast and, like, you know, the big koala and the big prawn and all this, right, and sent photos back to Ange, and Ange's like, what is happening? Who is doing this, right?
Yeah, I love it. That is so sweet.
It was a running joke, right? And they came into the radio station. They get, we got photos with Zoltar here and that kind of thing. We pretend like we were interviewing him. And then so then Saturday night was the night, and they had T-shirts made up. And so I was at Leopold Sporty's, like, after 11.
Yeah.
And I will not lie to you, I did think about going straight home.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, like, Ange and Rob are beautiful, and Rob's gone to all this effort to make T-shirts. He'd made up Zoltar Here and Now Bar T-shirts.
Bless.
And he'd dropped one off to me. He's like, it's okay if you don't come. I'm like, well, you've made a T-shirt now.
Yeah, so
I really do feel obliged to come. And not in a bad way. It's just like I would feel like a dick if I had
taken the T-shirt. This is new for you. That's great.
Thanks. It's growth. So that's what I did. I went from Leopold Sporties at like 11:30, rolled into town, parked. Fortunately, got a park near the bar on Ryrie. And changed out of my, like, 40th birthday gear, put on my shirt.
Oh, yeah.
My T-shirt.
Yeah.
My Zoltar first birthday bar T-shirt, and walked in, and Ange saw me at the top of the stairs, was like, oh, my God. And had a lovely time, right, and hung out with some crew, and got to 1 o'clock, and they're like, all right, that's it. Right, we wrap up at 1. See you later, everybody. And then there's, like, the other crew, and they're like, do you want to stay after party? Let's go. We'll do after party. I was like, oh, no, absolutely not. No, thank you.
Really?
No, not for me. No, I'm like, I've got swimming lessons in the morning. It's already 1 a.m.
I thought this was going to be like a story where you ended up at Two Chambers or something.
No, not quite.
Okay.
But it does take a turn.
Oh.
And I want you to guess the turn. So wait.
Oh, God, what can I say on air and off air?
Not yet. Let me get you to the point where there's the fork in the road. Okay?
Yeah.
So, as you know, Here and Now is the old Room 99's upstairs above Carn Curry Hut on Murray Street, right? Yeah. So finished my beer that I was having there, and I was like, great, okay. That was my one beer that I was having here. Good. You guys go crazy. Have a great night. I'm going to head off. And so then I walked back down the stairs, and I got to the bottom of the stairs, and there were two girls there that had sort of not – they'd been running around the club but weren't obviously not hanging out for the after party. Mm. They were leaving. And as I got to the bottom of the stairs, one of them says to me, where did you get your T-shirt?
Oh.
What do you think happened next?
You took it off.
Absolutely.
And gave it to her. But you had to make sure that the lighting was good. You would have sucked it in. You would have been like, oh, you want this T-shirt? Allow me.
It's a radio show in a podcast. And now in your ears, it's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
Netflix has a brand new Kylie documentary. It's 3 parts. It's just over 3 hours long. And is it worth watching before you dive into it?
Oh, yeah. Don't waste my time.
No, exactly.
You waste your time and tell me.
Exactly. It is definitely worth it. I loved it. I laughed. I cried. I binged it.
You cried?
Yes. I know me.
Wow.
I know. Cried. It's just so cool to see a different side of her, even though, to be honest, I wish the doco delved just a little bit deeper into her, because she still is quite reserved. She only swears once in the whole documentary.
Yeah, I think it's in the preview, or it's in the I've seen that bit.
So she swears once, and then the rest of the time it's like, you know, she's still her reserve self. I'm not saying you have to swear, but it's just kind of like sometimes with the docos you get that grittiness from someone who, you know, you kind of see them in a different light.
She's a good Campbell girl, so.
Yeah, right. So that is still there throughout the whole series, but it's just really well done, and the footage and the old stuff that they were able to get, because she has kept records of photographs and videos and everything, is really, really cool. And I love jumping back into that. So part one starts off with her recording her song, I Should Be So Lucky. I should be so kind of explores her early career and how she's like Danny Minogue's sister. Because I totally forgot, like Young Talent Time, obviously Danny Minogue was the singer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Kylie was the actress, and then she was on Neighbours, and then it was kind of like, oh, well, give her a crack at singing too. And then, yeah, she really took off over in the UK. So it delves into all of that, and it also goes into the fact that she copped a lot of flack. People used to call her the singing budgie, and she copped so much flack. Part two really covers her relationship with INXS singer Michael Hutchence. Obviously, they had a relationship, and that's where things get quite emotional for her too. I would have liked just a little bit more on the end of their relationship,
to
get into
what
that
happened,
just a little bit more would have been cool. But one of my favourite interviews of the whole series is Nick Cave being interviewed for his thoughts on Kylie. And obviously Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds are, you know, completely different to what Kylie is. You know, they're dark and moody and, you know, all that, which is amazing. And Kylie is just sunshine and joy, as he called her. They had this song together. Where the Wild Roses Grow.
Yeah.
And he really, I love Nick Cave. He's just so well-spoken and just so articulate. Everything is from the heart, you can tell. And their relationship, it was just a platonic relationship.
Mm.
But they were so good for each other at that time. That's really cool. Part three then captures sort of triumphs and tragedies from the year 2000 to now.
So her illness.
Yeah. Coming back, and then as it was well documented last week, she had cancer again, another cancer diagnosis, right after Padum Padum came out, which was getting her back into the spotlight and was huge again. And she also speaks about IVF and her infertility struggles as well. So there's a lot to cover, but it's a breeze. And I think that every episode you watch, you're like, oh, wow, is that it? Okay, on to the next one, on to the next one. Easy to binge. Really, really liked it. I'm going to give it a 4.5 out of 5.
Amazing. The Kylie Doco is on Netflix.
It is.
Right now.
Listen to the radio show weekday mornings from 6 on K-Rock. And come on back for some more right here anytime. Tom and Loggy say thanks.
Every year the Aussie bird count happens. Basically, tens of thousands of people across the country step outside and they watch and they count and they celebrate amazing Aussie birds. And it helps BirdLife Australia take a bit of a national snapshot of what birds we share our backyards and our trees and everything with as well. So this is an amazing community of bird lovers. A lot of schools get around this as well. But the final results have dropped, and we've got a very special guest on the phone to tell us more.
Yeah, joining us on the line is Holly. She's the manager of priority sites for BirdLife Australia, and she knows exactly what the numbers tell us. Good morning, Holly.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Thanks
and shall we say to you also?
You could. Not bad. Not bad.
You're honest, and I appreciate it.
I did word up, Holly, off air, that you have an amazing magpie that does skew turkey sometimes.
It was everything I hoped it would be.
Oh, amazing, Holly. Yeah, but look, you know, we have got you here, not for bird sounds from me, but for official numbers. What went on in the Aussie bird count?
So, look, we had 64,000 people across Australia counting birds in October last year, so 2025 results.
Wow.
And the most commonly seen bird in our surveys was, coincidentally, the Australian magpie.
Amazing.
That's one word for it.
It is.
Yeah, yeah. So I think
one in two surveys saw a magpie. Yeah. So
I love them
everywhere.
So much. I love them so
everywhere.
Much. I'm so happy. Are people happy with these results to know that there are this many magpies around, do you think?
Well, look, it probably depends on the type of the time of year. I mean, come swooping season, maybe not such a popular result. But I think for the whole, Australians have a really lovely relationship with magpies. And so I think it's really great to see that they're doing pretty well. Like they're all around our towns and cities.
What were some of the other standout sort of stats that we might not realise?
Oh, goodness me. There's so many. I mean, once you get, you know, 5 million birds coming into, you know, a database, there is so much to explore.
Wow. That's how many were counted?
That's how many were counted, yes. Wow. So that's a lot of birds out there, which is great. And so what we see is that there are some birds, your bigger, somewhat bossier birds, you know, like your magpies, like your ravens, you know, like your wattle birds, doing really well. Okay, so they're all up, you know, top 10 list.
Yep.
But then what we're seeing is that, you know, some of our lovely little birds, like my little favourite is a superb fairy wren. It's a little blue wren.
Oh, we love
it. We do love a fairy wren, yeah.
Yeah. Look, still sort of sneaking into the top 20, but nowhere near as common as they used to be. And so, we're, you know, we've got some concerns about how those little guys are going in our urban spaces.
Mm, okay. So nuts are down into top territories, like top birds in each territory and state. So in Victoria, I mean, the whole of Australia is magpie, but is that the same for Victoria?
Yeah, look, I can go down to Geelong if you like.
Absolutely. Oh, Tell us what we got.
So we have number one, the Australian magpie.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Number two, the red wattle bird.
Beautiful.
So big, chunky, brown and white guy with little red globs on his face.
Yep.
Number three, very common for Victoria. Unfortunately, was the common blackbird. So that's not a native species. That's an introduced one, but very notoriously Victorian.
Okay. Yep.
Right.
So that's we had then the little raven popping in at number four, and then the New Holland honey eater popping in at number five. So that's a little honey eater species. That's fantastic.
Yeah, we've got them in the bush nesting out the front of my window there, which is great. And my dog sees them and tries to jump through the glass to get them. So it is causing some concern, but man, it's pretty to look at.
It is very lovely, and they're obviously nice and safe, separated by that plane of glass.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And I mean, on the plus side, Loggy does chew food and then regurgitate it into their mouths just to make sure that they're getting the nutrition they need.
Well, I'm doing my thing for the bird, Holly.
Excellent, excellent.
Speaking of feeding birds, do we recommend feeding wild birds in our backyard there?
Look, that's a controversial topic. Look, we don't need to feed birds. So our bird life, the birds we tend to feed tend to be the ones that do really well anyway. It's magpies, it's rainbow lorikeets, it's currawongs and things. We can cause problems when we feed birds. So if we feed them incorrect food, it can make them very sick. So bread is really bad for birds.
Yep.
Honey mixes are bad for them. Mm-hmm. Even mints can be bad. It gets stuck in beaks and can cause sorts of problems.
Okay. What about last night's taco mints that Tom decided to feed some magpies?
I was trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, and I said, absolutely not. What do you say, Holly?
Probably on the no list, I would put that. Yes. I would keep that for my own leftovers rather than for the birds.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Are you going to listen to her now? Because you didn't listen to me.
No.
But you'll listen to Holly?
No, well, she's a professional.
Well, yes.
All right. And this has been a wonderful chat. Thank you so much, Holly. And love the work that BirdLife Australia does. I imagine we can dig deep into these stats online.
Absolutely. So aussiebirdcount.org.au, you can get ready for this year, coming up in October on the 19th.
Yes.
Fantastic. So you can just register? How's that work?
So you can go on the website, keep an eye out. We'll open up registration soon. And, you know, get your reps in. Just go out and see some birds and start counting them in practice for Bird Week.
Love your passion. Love it. Love it. All right, Holly, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Tom and Loggy. That was a podcast. And hear the whole experience weekdays live from 6 a.m. Geelong's K-Rock.